Next, we talk about contemporary methods of performance. Contemporary means recent methods. Now, some of them are not recent. They're also become a little old, but some of them are still being carried on. And newer methods have come while I'm talking to you. Assessment centers, very, very old, very famous. Assessment center typically involves use of methods like social informal events, tests and exercises, assignments being given to a group of employees to assess their competencies to take higher responsibilities in the future. In simple terms, assessment center is basically a set of processes. It's not a physical center like it has a physical office like this, but the terminology is used for a set of processes which we conduct on an employee in different settings, formal, informal, social, at the office. There's a pen and paper test given. There are some talks that is going on. There's a certain type of a mock drama that is done here, psychodrama. So all these things put together, overall, the person is seen from different angles to arrive at certain competencies that need to be mapped. It's an ongoing thing. It takes time. Employees are given an assignment similar to the job they would be expected to perform if promoted. And on that, there's a lot of assessment done, right? The trained evaluators, the people who are evaluating them, observe and evaluate employees as they perform the assigned jobs and are evaluated on job-related characteristics. The major competencies that are judged in the assessment centers are interpersonal skills, how I deal with people, intellectual capability, how I'm using my intelligence to get things done, planning and organizing capabilities, motivation, career orientation, etc. It's a big list. A few have been put in the slide. Assessment centers are also an effective way to determine the training and development needs of the targeted employees. This is true. Because if I'm going to appraise you, assessment center is more like appraising you 360 degrees. They look at you from different angle. And what appears to be a very perfect manager, he's very politically correct. He's doing a great job. I've come across this many times as a trainer. But there is something in him which is hidden. That hidden part of it comes out in an assessment center process. And that hidden part of it is something where he needs help. He may not ask, he may not be aware. So you have to sensitize him. In one large company, a works manager of the plant in an offshore overseas, he needed some one-on-one mentoring and a coaching. And that was an outcome of an assessment center feedback to him, saying that everything about you is good, except that this part of it is making your managers run away from you. And he was wondering, very nice person. But the assessment center opened up something which was within him, which he did not realize. You know, we develop behaviors to succeed. And we succeed. Now, some of the behaviors which we develop, it actually creates a toxic energy around us. We don't realize it. We are so obsessed with the goals. This is what happened in this case. So the company, you know, retained me for doing this. I met this person when he was in India twice. And then we had a heart-to-heart talk. And this was done in a very informal environment in a restaurant, in a hotel. And then things happened differently. So just to give an example, this is how assessment centers take place. But you have to be extremely trained. And you have to be very objective. You should look at things from a 360 degree angle. When I'm talking to you, I'll not look at only what you're saying, but I'll also, you know, they say listen beyond the ears, around the ears. We have to do that, right? Human resources accounting method. One of the recent ones. What are we doing here? Human resources are valuable assets for every organization. We all know it. Human resource accounting method tries to find the relative worth of these assets in terms of money. You're having your competencies and skills in you. How much is it worth? There's a value and there's a price. There's a value and a cost. In this method, the performance appraisal of the employees is judged in terms of cost and contribution to the employee. This is how slowly the C2C developed, which I'm talking in another module I've spoken about C2C, cost to the company, right? The cost of employees include all the expenses incurred on them like their compensation. So I'm spending some money on the employees. I'm calling it cost right now. And all these expenses I'm going to put on them. And this is incurred on them like their compensation. I'm giving you compensation. At the same time, also spending on you. There's a compensation, which is a reward to your work that you're giving. Plus, there's a cost to the company. The cost of employees include all the expenses incurred on them, like their compensation, recruitment and selection costs, induction and training costs, etc. Whereas their contribution includes the total value added in monetary terms. Their efforts, their attitudes, the way they relate with people, all these things are intangibles. All that are monetized, they put in monetary terms. The difference between the total cost and the contribution may be the performance of the employees. Now, this is still being developed as a proper mathematical science and equation, so that efforts which can't be measured, performance which can't be measured, is actually being translated into money form. Not so easy. It's creating a lot of upsets in people's minds also. Ideally, the contribution of the employees should be greater than the cost incurred on them. Now, this is again highly subjective. Who decides? Okay. Now, this contribution of the employees is not just top-line, bottom-line contribution, which is measurable in certain jobs. In certain other jobs, the contribution of the employees is not measurable. For example, a trainer in a company, he's training and the training has become effective. The effectiveness takes place after a few months. So how do you measure that contribution? Now, there are certain things, but every attempt is being made to optimize the human talents into a tangible form. That's a basic idea behind this. A very positive outlook, but it needs a lot of fine-tuning. As years go by, it'll happen. Most of you know about this 360-degree feedback, also known as multi-rater feedback. It is a most comprehensive appraisal where the feedback about the employee's performance comes from all the sources that come in contact with the employees on his job. My senior, my peer, the people who are reporting to me below me, and in some cases even the customer, if I'm in the marketing. So everybody gives a feedback about who I am. And when everybody gives a feedback, the combined subjective feedback of everybody gives a common objective feedback about me. That's a basic fundamental behind a 360-degree feedback. I'll repeat, the combined subjective feedback of everybody will give you a common objective feedback about me. And that feedback is really valuable. So I would say this is one of the best feedbacks which you can think of in appraisal systems. In 360-degree appraisal has four integral components. Self-appraisal gives a chance to the employee to look at his strengths, weaknesses, performance and achievements. Superior's appraisal, the employee's responsibilities and actual performance rated by the superior. Subordinate's appraisal, which calibrates how the employee communicates, motivates, delegates work to his subordinates and his leadership qualities. Peer appraisal, also known as internal customers, peers can help to find the ability of the employee to work in a team and sensibility towards each other. Okay? 360-degree feedback has high employee involvement and hence strongest impact on the behavior and performance. 360-degree feedback also serves as a powerful development tool. I get feedback and I know this is many people are telling me this about me. I think I need to go through a change. So it becomes stronger for me to go for a development workshop. For managers, it helps to assess their leadership and managing styles. Now we come to MBO, management by objectives, which you have already learned in principles of management. Okay, this is a part of appraisal. You define organization goals at the top and then you define employee objectives. Each employee has got an objective. Now, how is the objective? Let me refresh you. There are five parts. There's a vision on the top. There's a mission or a mission statement. Strategy follows that. Then comes objective, then the goal. So every employee is asked what is the objective to be chalked. Objective is one step before the goal, wherein we talk about direction and purpose of achieving the goal. Direction and purpose gives a person a meaningfulness of working towards a goal. So an objective is first set, and then continuous monitoring of the performance and progress is carried on. It's a one-on-one thing. And then performance evaluation and review is going on again on a constant basis. The idea is not to reward or punish. The idea is to improve the person. And then the feedback is given and the performance appraisal, the rewards or punishment are given eventually. Now this being a MBO process is highly employee involved. And being an employee involved process, what really happens is that too on a day-to-day basis, on a weekly, periodical basis, not on once a year. So the people get informal. And then, the communication becomes much easier between boss and subordinates. And then, you know, the corrections also happen by and by. It is not that one fine morning you're told, oh, you're not good in this, and then you get a bit of a, you're taken aback. It's all on a very continuous basis. Okay? That's what it is. I'll explain from the slide now. The concept of MBO was first presented by Peter Drucker in 1954. It's a process where employees and superiors identify common goals jointly, with the employees setting their goals standards to be adopted as criteria for measuring their performance and deciding future course of action. The essence of MBO is participative goal setting. Participative management concept we have learned in principles of management, right? So it's a participative goal setting. That means you and I participate. Employee, employer, boss and subordinate, both of them participate to set a goal. Unlike the earlier times. So the essence of MBO is participative goal setting, choosing course of actions and decision making. MBO creates empowered employees with clarity of roles and responsibilities who understand their objectives and their achievements, and they achieve organization and personal goals. Okay, now this is a very ideal scenario. Let me complete this first. Key features of MBO are clarity of goals, smart goals, motivation, effective communication and coordination. All this is very excellent. In an MBO process, the most important thing is you need to have a culture which is open. From top to bottom, people should be willing to exchange and share. But human beings being human beings, in some places, you'll find that as a senior, I don't want to share goals with my junior. There's a reluctance. So when I share, I'm not doing a proper communication. So in many cases, MBO has not really been effective because of the behavioral issue of the people. The culture has to drive it properly from the top. Then MBO becomes a very successful type of a process. Okay? Team performance appraisal. It's another form of appraisal where you appraise a full team. Today, teams are becoming more common in many companies. And most of the performance appraisal techniques are formulated with individuals in mind to measure and rate the performance of the individual employee. So you're a part of a team. This bell curve is actually the same thing. The team is appraised and you're also appraised individually. The team is performing X units. What is the percentage of performing? Is it near the X or away from the X? Therefore, with the number of teams increasing in the organizations, it becomes difficult to measure and appraise the performance of the team. Okay? The question is how to separate performance of the team from the performance of the employees. Try as much you may, the synergy equation, 1 plus 1 greater than 2, that's supposed to be a team performance. But there is also something called social loafing, wherein when one person is there, he does a job X. When another person is there, he does a job Y. X and Y independently, they perform X and Y properly. But when both of them come together, they are supposed to perform X plus Y greater than individuals. If it's 10 units and 20 units, it should be greater than 30. But in some cases, this person performed 10 units alone. He performs 20 units alone. When they come together, instead of performing 30, they perform less than 30. That is social loafing. Somebody takes things for granted. So that is one of the issues when you have a team performance. You know, you're trying to make things happen. It may not happen also sometimes. A solution to this problem that is being adopted by the companies is to measure both the individual and the team performance. Sometimes team-based objectives are also included in the individual performance plans. Rankin Yang strategy, lovely term, also known as a up or out policy. The Rankin Yang strategy refers to the performance appraisal model in which best to worst ranking methods are used to identify and separate poor performance from the good performance. If this job is done this way, it is the best, the superlative thing. If this job is done this way, it is the worst. So two extremes are created. Then the action plans and the improvement opportunities of the poor performers are discussed, and they are given a chance to improve their performance in a given time period, after which the appropriate HR decisions are taken. Now we come to the last part, problems faced in performance appraisal. Performance appraisal are subject to many rating errors. These could be due to errors in the rater's observations and judgment. These can seriously affect the assessment results. It does, as a matter of fact. One is a halo effect, wherein one aspect of the employee gets highlighted, ignoring the all other aspects. He must have achieved super goals. He must have got fantastic sales. But he's an arrogant chap. He puts off people and he has got low tolerance towards anybody who's less than what he is. Now that's dangerous. So if I'm going to appraise him only for his performance, then I'm missing out the total picture about who he is. That's dangerous for the company and his team. Rater effect. Likelihood of favoritism, stereotyping and hostility. I am rating you. So I like you. I like the shirt you're wearing. I like the dress you're wearing. So I give you a liberal rating. Or there may be very funny, stereotypical ways of looking at life. You know, anybody who dresses this way is good. Anybody who not dresses this way is not good. Stereotyping. Anybody who talks in this language is good. Now, these are all subconscious programming which come in the rater when he's rating the person. And it happens both sides. But rater has to be very careful about this. Initial effort and recent efforts. Behavior or performance of the employee during early stages of the review period. Initial efforts or the behavioral performance shown by the employee towards the end of the review period. April to let's say one quarter, April, May, June. So at the beginning of April, some behavior or some performance has been noted. Or the behavior during end of June is noted. Now these become, they stand out like sore thumb or they stand out like something important. When you started this, you did this. I'll start reminding you of April or June. This appraisal statement in July. See, this is what he did now recently. So people have got very funny memory banks and they use these memory banks to manipulate you. Now, this is one of the things that could go wrong in an appraisal system. Past spillover effect influences by earlier performance rating rather than current performance assessment. You've been an average performer last year, year before last, etc., etc. This year, your performance is good. But then, that past spillover effect is on my mind when I'm rating you. How could you do well? Have you done some manipulation? I try to doubt your competencies, even if it developed better. Status effect. Employees holding senior position may be overrated due to status. This is a very dangerous thing. It happens in many, many companies. Senior people sometimes feel they don't need a assessment. They don't need rating. In fact, in some companies, they don't have a appraisal for them. They're automatically seen as demigods. Now that is a very dangerous thing because a demigod will start really believing that he is God. And in the bargain, the people, they will stop taking inputs about what's happening in the company. They stop being humans. This is very dangerous. So every person has to go through an assessment, an appraisal. This person may be assessed by somebody who's a very, very highly talented, experienced consultant from outside. But that has to be done. Leniency or severity. Leniency is resorted to when the rater feels it might reflect their own poor image. So I try to be lenient. So I try to be very liberal with you and I give you a good rating. And I want to maintain a good relation with you. On the other hand, the rater may be very severe and unduly critical to the employer because he says, these are my standards. Both are subjective flaws. Okay? Tendency to play it safe. Some raters would like to be in the middle path. They are unsure about how to appraise and to maintain a middle path image, to tend to play safe during appraisal. Raters, when unsure how to appraise and to maintain a middle path image, tend to play safe during the appraisal. They are neither lenient nor harsh. They'll try to be the goody-goody types who are neither here nor there. Most of the people fall in this category. The above problems could be solved by training appraisers before the performance review and giving them a broader and comprehensive view of appraisal system. I would say that why have one single appraiser? Have about two or three appraisers at different points. The 360 appraisal system, according to me, is the best because that will try to nullify most of these things which we are talking about here. Finally, we come to the summary, the end of the chapter. Performance appraisal is an objective assessment of an individual's performance against well-defined benchmarks. It is useful in determining pay hikes, promotions, and in the assessment of training and development needs of the employee. The Human Resources Department is instrumental in laying down the performance appraisal process in the entire organization. It is also involved in ensuring that the annual performance appraisal cycle is carried out on a timely basis. Many companies, many employees have come and told me that in my company, appraisal has not happened for 1 or 2 years. It's very sad. It should be done on a timely basis. It's an annual, minimum annual should be done. There are many methods used for appraising the performance of the employees, such as rating scale, bell curve methods, etc. In future, performance appraisal could include the 360 degree feedback method. Although performance appraisal suffers from certain drawbacks like the halo effect, status effect, and leniency or severity, these drawbacks can be reduced by eliminating or eliminated by providing training to the raters. With this, my dear friends, I conclude this session. Thank you very much. I'm sure this has added value to you.